In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I bid you grace and peace this morning. Our Advent journey is almost over. It's really beginning to look a lot like Christmas. But we have a final stop on the Advent road. The story of the Annunciation. How many times have you seen a painting, a mosaic, depicting this marvelous scene? A favorite subject among artists, to be sure. The announcement to Mary that she will play a unique and pivotal role in God's plan of salvation. Over the past 600 years, you will see Gabriel appearing to the very young girl with the serene expression as she receives the messenger's words. If you study it very carefully, somewhere in the work, an open book may be seen. Sometimes on a stand, sometimes even in the hands of the Virgin Mary herself. I'm told, if your eyes are better than mine, a text is discernible from the prophet Isaiah. A young woman will bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. Mary is reading the prophecy that she herself will fulfill. These pictures are treasures. And many artists, like Fra Angelico, have become internationally known for the beauty of their compositions and for their ability to fire our imaginations. And while this has been the tradition since the Renaissance, there is an older tradition underneath. In the city of Rome, there is a 4th century church, the Church of St. Nereus and St. Achilleus, that tells an alternate story. Over the altar of this church, there is a mosaic that offers another version of the Annunciation and the actions that preceded it. Mary isn't found to be reading, but spinning thread. In fact, she has a spindle and a bobbin in her hand. And her expression is one of being slightly peeved at being interrupted. Well, where in the world did this notion come from? It's a story that may be found in a 2nd century apocryphal text called the Proto-Evangelium of St. James. Be sure and use that at Christmas dinner. One of the works which did not make it into the final canon of our New Testament books. It's attributed to James' half-brother, the bishop of the Jewish Christian Church in Jerusalem. and it tells stories. Oh, what stories! Of Mary's birth, her early life, her being handed over to the priests in the temple. It tells wondrous stories of the birth of Jesus. I know it's a strange work of dubious historical value, but man, it has lots of theological stuff suitable for meditation, you might say. Gabriel appears to Mary when she is spinning and has just finished with the red wool thread. She has stepped out to fetch a pail of water from the well and is about to begin weaving the purple thread when she hears his greeting, his news. Mary, we're told, has been assigned the red and the purple thread, which will be used for a holy purpose. It will be used for the veil of the temple. This veil shields the place where God is believed to dwell, the Holy of Holies. In ages past, it hung before the Ark of the Covenant in the wilderness tabernacle. Only Aaron and his sons were allowed to pass through the veil. Later still, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. According to the three synoptic gospels, the veil was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross, thereby exposing and perhaps supplanting the need for its existence, which, as we know, was dealt a final blow when the Romans destroyed it in the year 70. Pardon. With the Annunciation, Mary learns that with her yes to God, she will be weaving within her own womb the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world. And as for that final key element, the pail of water, well, how can we not think of baptism? We scarcely need mention how it reminds any and all of us who are baptized that we are Christ's bearers in the world, carrying not literally but figuratively the crucified and risen one born for us in Bethlehem. Twice a year, we hear this marvelous story at Christmas or near it, and you guessed it, 9 months prior when it is celebrated on its own. A nice bit of symmetry. Our Advent wait is nearly over, our expectant yearning fulfilled by the promise of God. The yes of Mary, the incarnate Son. I give the last word to 4th century church father Athanasius of Alexandria. O noble Virgin, truly you are greater than any other greatness. For who is your equal in greatness? A dwelling place of God the Word, to whom among all creatures shall I compare you? You are greater than them all. O Ark of the Covenant, clothed with purity instead of gold, you are the ark in which is found the golden vessel containing the true manna, that is, the flesh in which divinity resides. And Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Amen.